You're listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast with your hosts, Bobby McMahon and Owen O'Callaghan.
Welcome to this week's Soccer Report Extra podcast. To be more accurate, part two of this week's Soccer Report Extra podcast. We're doing four podcasts this week covering all 20 teams in a Premier League preview. Not review, as I said before. We'll attempt to provide some idea of the challenges that might lie ahead for these teams. I'm Bobby McMahon. Alongside me is Owen O'Callaghan, that controls and giving us adult supervision, is producer and photoshopper extraordinaire Luke Crawford. So, podcast number two. We've added the unexpected element of a draw. We have 15 teams left in our sandwich bag. We're going to ask producer Luke to draw out team number six. Team number six, Stoke City, last season's FA Cup finalists. Mm-hmm. Tony Pulis in charge again, mid-table last year. I wouldn't say great season for them in the league, but they finished 13th, 46 points. Never a team that was in any trouble of relegation. What can you see in store for them this year? More of the same or improvement?
Yeah, I think probably more of the same. You know, you obviously saw last season, at the beginning of every campaign, I suppose teams of the calibre of Stoke always talk about, listen, let's just keep it going in the league, let's just do what we can do, and maybe we could get a decent cup run as well. Lo and behold, it's exactly what happens. Yeah. And they end up in the Europa League. So that's pretty strange to begin with. They've taken a little bit of a gamble in the transfer market in the summer. Jonathan Woodgate has arrived.
Probably pay-for-play deal.
It surely
you got
has
to think
to be.
So, don't you? Yeah. Maybe a small retainer of some kind.
Now, if they
manage
to...
A deposit against first aid supplies.
Is that tax deductible?
It could be. Yeah, I think it should be if you have to pay it yourself, if you're out of contract.
Financially, not too bad for Stoke.
Probably got a good tax accountant.
If Woodgate even plays...
10 games?
Gets into double figures for games. He should probably be a reliable presence back there.
He would be an improvement, because the one thing that Stoke have got, Robert Huth has no ability to play the ball out from the back. Ryan Shawcross, well, they do play the ball out from the back, but it just tends to have
a very straight trajectory
and very powerful trajectory. But you get Woodgate in there, who can play a little bit of football, good passer of the ball, probably not as good as Michael Dawson.
No.
No
one comes close to Michael Dawson. Best passer
of the ball in the Premier League, according to one Premier League commentator.
For centre-back, of course.
For centre-back. He's actually got one pass, and he just plays it all the time, and that's the one that's supposed to impress us. But Woodgate has got the ability. He's also got the ability to get forward at set pieces and be a danger there as well.
That's true.
It really is quite unfortunate. And to some extent, I'm messing around and making fun of Kieran Dyer as well, but Kieran Dyer and Jonathan Woodgate are two of the great unfulfilled talents of English football, and
certainly
really come down to injury, because Woodgate and Dyer were both tremendously good prospects, and they've just never had that run that's allowed them to show what they had.
Tony Pulis is boss. It just means that the style is not going to change at all.
No. You're Pennant on one side,
Etherington on the other. Should Etherington keep fit? There is question marks, really. Obviously, he suffered in the FA Cup final after picking up that hamstring problem. So he needs to make sure that he just stays as injury free as he can for the whole campaign. Really exciting player, Etherington. I always like to see him play. Great deliverer from set pieces, as is Jermaine Pennant as well. Well, except for in the FA Cup final against Manchester City,
pretty bad stuff then.
But they've got a system, and they stick to it.
And the job is to get it to the big man in the middle, who, when he's not injured, is is Kenwyn Jones. He had a tough time of it last year. But Kenwyn Jones, on his game, when he's fit and when his head's in the game, is an awesome force to have to deal with for any defender.
I just thought that when they made that signing, it was a really good signing. It was pretty astute. And we talked about another club on our journey to record this morning about strategy when it comes to signing players. And when you bring a player in, you need to know how to get the best out of that player. With Kenwyn Jones, he just fits very well into how Stoke play. Yeah. It's not very pretty, but it certainly is effective. And it gets results, and ultimately that's what it comes down to. Anyone expecting anything dramatic to change for Stoke, it's not going to happen. So it's going to keep on ticking along. It would be interesting to see on if they do get on a European run, how much that might affect them.
Affect the depth of their squad.
The depth and it, just the total.
Really interesting to see how European clubs cope with Stoke as well at times, isn't it?
Stoke in Europe sounds hilarious.
I guess they were there before, but every time we talk about Britannia Stadium, I remember Nick Sopanek's comment on the Times podcast talking about Britannia Stadium, or as it's really should be referred to as Ice Station Zebra. So cool. So foreboding.
Just to kind of, I suppose, predict Stoke for next season, mid-table obscurity?
Mid-table with a couple of nice runs which maybe get you thinking they might be in good enough to push into a Europa League spot, but maybe it's a cup for them again, whether it be the Carling Cup or the FA Cup. Kenwyn Jones, 100-1 against finishing as top scorer.
I think Kenwyn Jones will get into double figures.
I would think so too. Anyway, if Stoke City were a Hollywood celebrity, I am not sure at all what we're going to get with this one. Owen O'Callaghan, who would Stoke City be?
Ricky Gervais. Doesn't look like they should be playing with the big boys. Seems a perfect fit for a smaller stage. But they have a style and it works. Effective and quite successful.
So does that make...
He is from Reading. Well pointed out there.
Does that make Tony Pulis David Brent?
He's
Come on, get it out. Manager first.
What's the quote again?
Manager first.
Friend first. Yes. Boss second. Probably entertainer third.
There we go. So that brings us to the end of Stoke's preview and the next team out of the sandwich bag.
We should have put a sponsor on that sandwich bag. Because the amount of times...
They didn't say Subway?
Oh, did we say Subway?
West Brom. Roy Hodgson took over mid-season after the debacle his time at Liverpool, but received some credit. I thought Roberto Di Matteo getting fired there was unfortunate and quite unlucky for Di Matteo, but he's a land on his feet at Chelsea as assistant to Villas-Boas. We have Roy Hodgson in charge of West Brom, and they found their way into a reasonable position, 11th at the end of the season, 47 points, and perhaps one of the best signings of last year made by Roberto Di Matteo was Odemwingie.
It was a terrific signing. I think he ended up with 14, 15 goals.
I will be able to get that for you in a moment.
Your notes are just flying all over the place.
As they always do.
Everyone listening at home is like, this is a mess. This is chaos.
It is chaos.
But it is organised chaos.
Well, no, it's not actually. It's really? Just disorganised chaos. Okay. But carry on.
But Hodgson comes from the debacle at Liverpool. Steps into West Brom and saves their season. At least we not forget that West Brom were hugely in relegation problems.
15
for Odemwingie.
15 goals, and he was the fifth top scorer, I think, last year.
Also, worth reminding yourselves that Odemwingie scored a kind of a pick and mix of goals. You know, he's not just a poacher. He's got good pace.
Great movement.
Can get in behind defences, got good feet. But he's also there when he has to score those scrappy, dirty sort of finishes from 4 yards out that come off the outside of his boots, you know, take a deflection off someone and then crawls over the line. Which, for a team like West Brom, who are pretty much a second-tier side with aspirations of being better, goals like that are always a blessing. This season, transfer-wise, they've got a new keeper.
Well, it's interesting because they've traded one former England prospect for another England prospect who's kind of been on a bit of the... Ben Foster's made himself unavailable, hasn't he?
Yes, he wants to spend more time.
Just like you made yourself
family.
Unavailable for Ireland, I believe.
Yeah, myself and Trapattoni just didn't see it.
We
just had a phone call conversation and it became clear that he didn't like me as much as I like myself.
Okay, so that Ben Foster coming in from Birmingham on loan as Scott Carson headed off for Bursaspor for about £3.5 million.
£3.5 million. Why would any club pay that much for a flaky goalkeeper like Carson?
It's Carson, another one, just never fulfilled his potential.
There was a game against Chelsea, wasn't it, last season, where he basically threw at least 2 goals into his own net. Didier Drogba was like, "Oh, thanks for that, mate. That was the worst free kick I ever took."
The beard made it worse.
And never trust a man with a gap in his front teeth.
And a beard.
I think that's just a rule.
There you go again. You've pissed off another set of fans. Anybody out there with a beard and a gap in their front?
You
front
said
teeth?
Beard. I just said I've got nothing wrong with beards. The gap-toothedness freaks me out.
But you look at their goals against last year. You know how many goals they conceded last year? 71. That's a shitload of goals.
That is a ton of goals. I did not know.
Blackpool conceded 78.
But still, I mean,
West Ham conceded 70. West Brom, 71 goals against.
How many did they score?
That's very un-Roy Hodgson, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got to put that down on Roberto Di Matteo.
Yeah, Roberto Di Matteo conceded at least 55 of those when he was boss.
They scored 56, which is more than Tottenham.
Not too bad.
Actually.
What, free scoring Tottenham?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, one of the great fallacies of the league last year. So, with Roy Hodgson, let's look at it this way. Scoring 56, if Hodgson could find a way of freezing that 56 and holding on to 56, you know with his system and what he did with Fulham, he's got to get that 71 down to, what could he get it down to?
Low
60s, you would think. Down to a Wigan-like 61.
Without Carson, they'll get it down to about 60 anyway.
Well, that's true. But that you'd think that's got to be worth. If you could carve like 15 goals off, or even half a goal a game, let's say 19 goals off that 71, you get down to 52.
But
that's got to be worth 6-7 points.
But to counteract that, will Odemwingie have the same sort of success in front of goal?
That's true.
Is there anyone else along with Odemwingie who can step up and be as consistent a goal scorer?
The one thing that you look that's quite apparent with Hodgson's Fulham, which probably is the best comparison rather than Hodgson's Liverpool here, is the one thing he got out of Fulham was he really diversified the goal scorers.
Yeah.
He never Everyone really... Zamora in. Was the guy, I guess. But you look around them, you had Dempsey with 6 or 7 every year.
Danny Murphy.
You had Damien Duff, you had Danny Murphy coming in. You had a lot of guys, Zoltán Gera coming off the bench, who
has rejoined Roy.
West Brom. Very popular. I always liked Zoltán Gera as a player.
He was on the free agent list.
He was. I just thought he was a good, reliable, not in so much a reliable player, but somebody who could change a game when he came on. So many substitutes are thrown on, not to change the game, but just to try something.
Mm-hmm.
But Gera always struck me as a player that actually could change a game.
Mm. Do we think that things will get better for West Brom this season?
I think the one that's unfortunate is Valera has now been transferred. Not that he made a success, but he's gone to Villarreal, but that was very unfortunate that he never made it at West Brom, but he's gone.
Yeah.
But I think West Brom could be one of these teams that actually surprises this year and perhaps could be a
top 10.
7-8th place team. Whew. I think top 10.
Be an incredible achievement.
I'm not sure I'm going to still think that by Friday. Okay, Hollywood personality.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Had a breakout in the 80s, fresh-faced and talented. Reappeared in the big time the following decade with both problems and relative success. Seems to have found her perfect match in a cuddly old man.
I've got nothing else to say. I was
speechless.
Speechless. But not for long. Producer Luke goes to the bag again. Pulls out a piece of ham. No, pulls out Sunderland.
Pretty much a limp piece of meat.
Oh, you're... Sunderland last year. My goodness. Steve Bruce. The turnover this year again. Let's start off with, instead of Sunderland, Steve Bruce. What do you make of Steve Bruce? Well, okay, let's move on to Sunderland.
How much time have you got about Steve Bruce?
This isn't big fonts, but it's taken up at least a quarter page, the transfers in.
Oh, huge. Well, in fairness, Steve Bruce looked at last season, realised where they struggled, how badly they struggled, and things went off course, and now he's just decided, right, let's bring in shitloads of players.
how many players between Roy Keane and Steve Bruce?
Oh, well, Keane went through an absolute hatful. And also, like
Steve Bruce... The dressing room's got to be a revolving door.
Well, like Steve Bruce, Roy Keane also had a huge love and obsession with signing former Manchester United players.
Well, he's added another two this year because he's got Wes Brown in there, John O'Shea. David Vaughan's coming from Blackpool. Craig Gardner for Birmingham. Connor two relegated Wickham. Teams.
Connor Wickham from Ipswich. English under 21.
Well, you look at that, $21 million. So that's, what's that? That's got to be about £13 million.
Oh, yeah.
So when's Arsenal sign Oxlade-Chamberlain for less money than that. It's maybe, I've seen Wickham, and I keep on reading great reports about him, but when I've seen him, it doesn't look anything special to me.
No. You're at Ipswich. Yeah, you do okay. You're young, English. A lot of headlines probably insinuating that you're better than what you really are. Yeah. There's a price tag that goes along with it. Suddenly Sunderland have a guy, well, yeah, plenty of potential, but again, cut and thrust of the Premier League, young guy, raw.
One of the ones we didn't have on the transfer out here, I just noticed, is Mensah. Mensah's gone, I think.
He's gone back to France.
I think he has gone back to France.
Now, what we will say about the surgery on the defence, John O'Shea is their new captain.
Yeah.
18 league starts for Manchester United last year. So versatile back there. Can also play in midfield. But he should certainly stabilise things a little bit. And with Wes Brown there too. Wes Brown, I think, probably became a slightly worrisome defender based on the lack of playing time that he had consistently at United. I think, yeah. He was always, as a young guy, physical, determined. Jury, I suppose, will be out over him at Sunderland, but still, a lot of experience, a lot of success. So those two signings in particular stand out as being good bits of business. Craig Gardner, bringing him in from Birmingham, had such a great season with Brum last year, was their main goal scorer. Midfield should give them something else. So you go through it, there's a little bit of a strategy to the signings. Seb Larson, also from Birmingham, out wide. On the right side should give
another
them
relegated force. Player.
They've kept hold of Asamoah Gyan. There was rumblings that he was going to be heading elsewhere. They have lost Danny Welbeck, who's gone back to Manchester United, of course. And they've also lost Steve Malbrank.
Yes,
who
another
has gone back to
Saint-Étienne.
So Sunderland, on paper, should certainly be better than last year. The investment they've made, well, financially, if Bruce can't engineer a better season than last term, he's looking.
But it was such an up-and-down season last year. Now, they finished in mid-table. They finished 10th, which actually is an improvement. So they've gone up. You look at Sunderland since they came back in the league, and they've gone 16th position, finished with 36 points. 13th position, finished with 44 points. Last year, up to 10th. 47, so they are making progress, but my goodness, they do make it in a very strange way.
But if you remember when we did a podcast last season,
they were on the cusp.
We were trying to predict the teams that were going to go down.
Yeah,
and at a certain time, Sunderland weren't even on our radar, and suddenly a couple of weeks later,
zoop.
There they were. Now,
and then zoop.
The last few weeks, they got a couple of decent results and made their way back up the table. But it looked a little bit dodgy for a little while. They looked as if they genuinely could struggle. With that amount of
Here's a quick question for you, right off the top, because you're not looking at the league tables from last year. What was Sunderland's biggest problem, scoring goals or conceding goals?
Scoring goals?
Yeah, it was. Only 45 they scored last year.
They need, obviously, you lost Bent to Villa.
Yeah.
Welbeck was injured for
is
a long
time. Is he
married
Steve Bruce's daughter here?
What's that?
Dan Bent.
Is he?
Yeah, he was dating Steve Bruce's daughter, Amy.
Amy Bruce?
Yeah, apparently it was all hush-hush. Didn't know until he'd actually been transferred to Aston Villa.
Who am I? No, that's a story. That's a story involving Liverpool. I was going to bring up a story involving...
No, that's... That
manager's daughter.
Yes, no. Keep these Stan Collymore stories for another day.
Was that Stan, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
And it wasn't Kenny Dalglish's daughter.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Yes.
No, we'll keep that for another day.
But yeah, we will.
So anyway,
we've got people out there now going, what's the story?
They're on Google now. They're on Google already. Yes. So, I tell you, they'd be Catherine Zeta-Jones as well. But I'm sure you've got something better.
If Sunderland were a well-known celebrity,
they'd be Owen O'Callaghan.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Such a fine line between good and bad. When things are positive, their talent really shines. But once tempted, they crash and burn quite quickly.
Oh, okay, back in the sandwich bag. We're doing remarkably well keeping the time here.
I know.
It's not going to last.
We're going to crash and burn at something, aren't we?
Oh, something that Owen knows very little about.
Yes.
We all know very little about. This season's Community Shield winners, Manchester United. There's one you could do a podcast on.
Yeah. Well, their season, if we're looking at Premier League, they should be okay, shouldn't they? Brought in three summer signings, one a goalkeeper, one defender, one attacking midfielder. Community Shield performance. They came back from 2-0 down against their noisy neighbours.
Arch rivals.
So nothing sweeter than that. Nani, once again, coming up trumps with a couple of goals, who just seems like a perfect Premier League player. Going by last season against Bolton, Birmingham, Stoke, whoever else, just loves playing against that standard of teams. When he just steps up a level, okay, you know.
He's not a Ronaldo. Struggles. He never will be a Ronaldo.
No, but I think he does serve a genuine, solid purpose.
Yes.
Interesting to see how it works between Valencia, Young and Nani. You know, you've also got somebody like Park in there who Ferguson tends to always play in big games. So
you can get 50-1 against Nani being the top scorer in the Premier League.
I would probably put more money on Nani being top assists.
He was up there last year, wasn't he?
Mm. And again, somebody, this is very strange, somebody who has genuinely flourished when given added responsibility. When Nani, you know, was in the same side as Ronaldo, as we just talked about, never is good. Fans probably going, this guy's a bit flaky.
He was the Jimmy Young to Ronaldo's Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, there you go.
And I don't mean Jimmy Young, the radio presenter. I mean Jimmy Young, the sparring partner.
And when Ronaldo left, a lot of pressure on him to step up to the plate, which he did.
Yes.
And we're getting carried away with talking about Nani a lot.
But he is a game changer.
He is. And
a genuine
game
changer.
He can frustrate with shooting, making that same shot five times in a row from 30 yards and always thinking that he's going to hit the top corner.
But the stand.
Rather inevitably, he pretty much does. Normally, it'll be the fourth or fifth shot that he takes, but he'll get there eventually.
He does take a lot of shots, but he does come through. A
couple of huge positives for Manchester United for this new season. Wayne Rooney not having the World Cup to deal with and not having extramarital affairs to deal with.
And a new hairline.
Yes, looks like... looks a lot more like the FIFA 2011 version of Wayne Rooney. Very angular haircut. He looked quite fresh in the Community Shield. Looked quite trim and stuff. And
asking a lot of him yesterday in that first half especially. There was a lot of
shuttle
cover.
Runs.
When I say yesterday, I mean on Sunday because we're recording this on Monday.
Yes. Pressure already on the shoulders of their new goalkeeper, David De Gea.
What has he done lately?
Well, he made that huge mistake of letting two goals in a meaningless game.
But was it meaningless?
No, it wasn't meaningless. And it was rather inevitable that there was
But they were just waiting. It was so obvious.
We said that they had the piece prepared.
Yeah, because
they wrote it 4 weeks ago.
Coming up in the elevator. Something. You sign a goalkeeper, it's a commentator's dream.
Yeah.
First mistake, all over him like a dirty shirt. Goal scorers? It's not quite the same. You've got to give them four or five games before you can criticise them. But De Gea was a target right on top already. Ferguson will stick by him, though, because he'll always stuck by his goalkeepers, even into positions where it's obvious that they're not the right thing. But he's 20 years old.
Yes.
And he's coming into a pretty good team. He's going to be given time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think it's totally unfair to be overly critical of him in that situation.
What you say about De Gea is that it's the one similarity between him and Schmeichel. Schmeichel, pardon my French, but an annoying prick on the field. Just like, you could tell
is that
his
French?
Teammates just hate. Is it French or
I don't think so.
Or is it East End English? But you could tell his teammates Piquet. You could tell his teammates just hated him, but always consistent. He just had this attitude. If he did make a mistake, he'd stand in front of his defenders with his hands on his hips as if to say, "What was your fault, wasn't it?" And De Gea seems to have that sort of attitude. If he has a mistake, he'll just shrug his shoulders and go, "Don't really care." Whereas before, you saw the likes of Foster, Howard, whoever else, a litany of them. Roy
Lopez,
Carroll, Tim Howard, Ricardo, Massimo Taibbi, Raymond Vanderhout, Andy Gorham,
Jim Leighton,
Les Seeley, Gary Walsh. They all, if they did make a mistake, head in the hands. Oh, God, this is going to be
depressed tomorrow. There's actually there's a simple answer, isn't there? Just do what Edin van der Sar did. Never make a mistake, apart from against West Brom. And we hear about that one all the time.
And the FA Cup semi-final against City.
Yes,
a very rare error by Edin van der Sar. You know, handed the ball back to City. Then
they were in commentator's cliches.
Yes.
But before we move into if Manchester United was a Hollywood personality, who would they be? But the continued narrative we hear about signing a replacement for Paul Scholes. Can I just get my tuppence worth in this? You missed the boat. You don't. If you're signing a replacement for Paul Scholes, you're going to be looking for a midfield player who plays deep, who spreads the ball very well, and can't get up and down the field anymore, because that's what Scholes has been for the last 2 years. If you're talking about signing a replacement for Scholes and he's heady, should have been done 2 years ago.
Yes.
At least.
And what I would add to that is, it's very, very simplistic.
It's
overly
simplistic.
You need to sign a replacement for Scholes.
And Ferguson's shown over the years that he doesn't sign replacements.
No. And it's interesting to see how this season goes. I was thinking about this when, as Roy Keane as an example. When they first signed Roy Keane, Roy Keane was a box-to-box midfielder. Roy Keane, when he arrived at the club, tried to score goals to justify the price tag.
A la Robson.
Suddenly, with Ince's departure, they dropped them a little bit further back. Lo and behold, the rest is history.
Yeah.
So sometimes Ferguson, by jiggling the jigsaw a little bit, the pieces fall into different places, and the team and the lineup takes on just a little bit of a different vibe and a different look. Case in point, somebody like Tom Cleverley, who we all thought was a winger. Spent a wing.
I actually thought he was a cast member of the Archers. It just sounds like a name from the Archers.
I thought he sounds like a guy from a Harry Potter movie.
Could be that as well.
Tom Cleverley, put on the invisibility cloak. We're going to the land of Nod, or wherever they go. Gryffindor. We're getting carried away.
Emirates Stadium.
Yes, to the other wizard, Arsene Wenger.
What's the name of the airline? I can't even remember. What's the Manchester City $400 million?
Etihad.
Yeah, God, it shows how effective that advertising's been, isn't it?
Don't they play the Etihad Stadium now?
I'm thinking of Emirates.
I better remember that when I keep on saying Eastlands. That doesn't exist
Memo
anymore.
Memo to Gary Cook, it's not working.
Yes. United, weaknesses ahead of the new season, because it's not fair to just kind of talk about where they're solid. Interesting to see Javier Hernandez, second season.
Yeah, because he's just quickly over the Manchester United players who rate in the betting for top scorer this year. Wayne Rooney, 8-1 favourite. Hernandez, 8-1 joint with him. Berbatov, last season's, was he top scorer last year? Was Tevez
joint top scorer with Tevez? Oh, yeah,
okay. 25-1 on Berbatov, who is sunk quite low in the you would think on the depth chart. Nani, 50-1, and that Ashley Young coming in at 66-1. That was a strange one, isn't
it? Terrible one, yeah. Idea. Yeah. Why would anyone that'd put money another, Ashley Young to
that'd
the
be
top
another
score?
One you would think would be an assist
yeah,
guy.
Absolutely.
Anyway, weaknesses.
Weaknesses. Last year, their away form was diabolical. Now, their home form was sensational. One draw at home and the rest was
against West Brom, and that was the one that Edwin van der Sar had.
It was his fault, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
No pressure on the old keeper, but yeah, it was his fault. He should know better. But they really have to rectify getting on the road and getting decent results, because chances are this season they won't be as good at Old Trafford, and so those points that they will drop on the road will probably tend to be worth a lot more.
So you mentioned jiggling a few. A few minutes ago.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I don't know who your personality is. Guessing.
Sorry.
Is there any jiggles involved?
Depends how you'd use the term, really.
Okay, well, you're going to... On you go. Come
They'd
on.
Use it as a verb, certainly. If Manchester United were a Hollywood star, they would be Angelina Jolie.
I think the jiggles work.
Comes from a great pedigree, but had some isolated moments of putting faith in strange individuals. Always classy, but relationship with significant other imperative to success. And always puts faith in youth.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we got one more to go on podcast number two of the Premier League season preview. And it is, we've lost a bit of our time discipline here, but we are on to Swansea City. The third of the promoted clubs came up through the playoff system. Roberto Martinez perhaps put them a little bit on the map, left
Absolutely.
To join Wigan. And Brendan Rodgers, another former member of the Mourinho team, who was at Chelsea with Mourinho,
yes.
together with Villas-Boas. Mm-hmm. And Swansea, here's something for you, I read on the weekend, and the preview from when Saturday comes. Swansea have become the first team with a significant stake from the supporters in the club to be a Premier League team. 20% ownership of Swansea is by Supporters Trust. And so, there's something you didn't know, right?
It's a really positive angle that whole club, isn't it? And particularly if Swansea do well against the big boys and the guys that are lined by Middle Eastern and US billionaire riches.
Yeah.
So it goes to show that a little lad can still compete.
Can do it. Can they avoid a swan dive back to the Championship?
The one thing I would say is that absolutely zero pressure on their shoulders. Everyone happy to write them off before the season begins.
Except us, of course.
Except
we don't
us.
Do these things, do we? Don't write teams off.
We don't.
Never do that. Derek Taylor.
If we do, there's always a really good reason for why we do it at that given moment in time.
Really good?
Really good. It's rare. And I was trying to think about this. This is off the top of my head. But has there been a case when a promoted team has come up and instantaneously just bombed? Derby springs to mind.
Sunderland. Sunderland went down with about 21 points one year, I think.
But was that straight from being promoted the previous season?
Let me check. Yes, it was.
Was it?
15 okay. points, 2005-2006.
So Sunderland and Derby in the last...
See, you laughed at me for bringing all this paper into the studio, didn't you? But it's beginning to pay off now.
It is. It is, actually.
And then the next time they went down 2008-2009. This is Sunderland, of course, with 32 points, which was better.
Okay. As in, my point is...
No, sorry. That was wrong line.
Get your lines straight here.
Sorry, screwed up my lines. But yes, they did go down with 15 points in 2005-2006.
Yeah, the kind of bigger point is that it seems to have been a rare occurrence that the team that you always mark off as being that side who, they'll be struggling from the get-go.
Yeah.
They tend to pretty much punch above their weight a lot of the time. So Swansea,
do you remember how many points Derby went down with?
Not many. Was it 11?
Yeah, it was 11.
Producer Luke with that.
He was right in there, wasn't he?
Educated guess, yes. Well, actually, more than a guess. I think he... probably just knew it.
Yes, he did.
Look at that shrug of the shoulders. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, I knew that all the time.
Big Derby fan.
So, Swansea, not a lot of movement in the transfer market. Made a couple of signings, but in line with QPR, in line with Norwich, putting more faith in players from lower divisions that perhaps are a little bit hungry.
Yeah.
On the younger side rather than the experienced side. Mm-hmm. Danny Graham, who had a good season with Watford, can score some goals, come in. Leroy Lida, he did have time with Reading, but he was younger then,
yes.
And now he's so much older now.
So much more. What happened? He must be, at least about 27?
He must be, but they picked him up. I didn't even realise he was playing for Middlesbrough.
He's probably younger than 27, is he? I'm getting older. Maybe that's...
Well, I was surprised it was Middlesbrough, because I thought Middlesbrough had just had Rangers and Celtic players. After the Gordon Strachan debacle.
Did also sign Routledge?
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Yes, to sit on the bench.
Routledge Spring. How many Premier League clubs has Wayne Routledge been? Like six Premier League clubs.
More clubs than Jack Nicklaus.
He's been on loan deals with a lot of them. He's accumulated.
Well, let's see if we can... we're going to digress a little bit in Swansea here, but started off... Well, who did he start off? He's been Spurs. He's been Crystal Palace.
Villa.
Spurs. Fulham. Villa.
That's five.
Newcastle.
Six. That was quick.
Swansea.
I thought we'd struggle more there.
And I think he's been with some other... Was he with Portsmouth? Or am I making that up?
Hasn't everyone? the town no slapper. Comment. Hasn't everyone been with them at some stage?
But they lost Swansea, back to Swansea. They lost Dan Pratley, who had some time with Fulham some years ago.
Big season last year
for him. He did have a big season.
Midfielder and scored a lot from midfield.
So Bolton, it's kind of unusual, isn't it, for a player to get promoted with a club and immediately leave that club for another team in the Premier League. They tend to stick around, don't they?
Yeah, well, at least for that first season.
Yeah, he was out of contract, so obviously Owen Coyle sees something in him.
Not too much pressure on the shoulders of Brendan Rodgers either, because essentially he had a bad stint with Reading, but then went to Swansea to kind of regenerate and to kind of find that, I suppose, whatever he lost at Reading, and he found it because he got them into that Premier League.
I don't know what I've lost, but I think
I found it. I suppose what he lost was a little bit of respect. You head into the Premier, you've given Swansea already what they've looked for so long, no one expecting miracles. So he kind of has a little an interesting clean slate in front of him.
Three promoted teams, all being very judicious as far as the money's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is betting the bank. everybody. You assume that a lot of these contracts are still in place, or what we'd almost call two-way contracts,
yeah,
in terms of up and down and drop money. So nobody is betting the bank on staying up, which I think for the long-term benefit of these teams is a healthy thing. But we're next going to get to the Hollywood, or the celebrity now, Swansea. Tell me it's not Tom Jones.
Nope.
Oh, it's not Tom Jones.
If they were a relatively well-known celebrity, they would be. New kids on the block. Last considered a big name in the 80s and fell from Earth after meteoric rise. On the comeback trail, but not much to play for anymore, should fall back into semi-retirement.
Oh. So you're not really holding up much hope for Swansea to survive? Or is that...
Hey, listen.
New would kids that on be the writing block, them off?
Everyone probably has their compilation album at home. Their greatest hits. So...
Who are new kids on the block? Oh my God, who are Menino?
Kind of like the Rat Pack.
Is that anything like
kind of?
Is that anything? Is that anything
like the Rat Pack? Brilliant.
I thought anything like Suburio.
A little bit. At times, you really do want to use your hands to take your frustrations
and
out.
And who would have thought that about Ricky Martin? That brings us to the end of our second podcast. Check back tomorrow for the next installment of Soccer Report Extra Premier League 2011. Season preview. I'm Bobby McMahon, and on behalf of Ona Callahan and producer Luke Crawford, thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. Until the next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast. For more great soccer news, highlights, and analysis, watch the Fox Soccer Report every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Soccer and Fox Sports World Canada. And be sure to check out SoccerReportExtra.com daily for previews, opinions, and reviews. Music for this podcast provided by SoundJay.com.